Dear friends in Christ, today we enter more deeply into the very special and beautiful season of Advent, a season of expectation, of joy, of hope. And indeed, this coming week, we can identify particularly with the Blessed Mother's hope as she waited for the birth of Jesus. On Tuesday, we have the beautiful Feast of the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. And then on Saturday, we have the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the Empress of the Americas, whose side altar we have in her honor here. And so it's a time to identify with the Blessed Mother, to remember Holy Mother Mary, and how she too was living in expectation. Can we begin to imagine the wonder and the tremendous joyous hope that filled her while she's expecting the birth of Jesus? She hasn't seen him yet, but she knows that this baby has been conceived by the Holy Spirit and will be the Son of God. What will he look like? How wonderful to see the face of God in a little baby. And that's the kind of hope and expectation that we should foster in our hearts also during this Advent season. The Bible readings today speak to us of another figure who's very important in the Advent season and in the whole of the Christmas scenario, but we don't hear much about him in the surrounding culture. You won't find John the Baptist on Christmas cards, or you won't hear Christmas jingles singing about John the Baptist. You won't hear his name on just about anything connected with Christmas. And yet, in our worship, in God's plan, he's very important. He was the one called to be like a kind of a bridge between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. He's the last great prophet of Israel in Old Testament times, living under the Old Covenant law, but he's opening up the way and announcing the coming of the Savior. And you could say that everything we do in our own life, in a certain sense, could be like an imitation of John the Baptist. We too are called to prepare the way for Jesus. First of all, in our own hearts, by a constant call to reminder of the need for conversion and penitence and getting rid of those things in our hearts that keep us away from God. Advent, this penitential time, is a great moment for that. And also for the hope that John the Baptist expressed, the confidence in the power of the coming Messiah, the coming Savior. At these times, it's often easy to concentrate and focus too much on the bad things that are happening around us. And just this week, of course, we have seen right here in America the powers of darkness at work with that terrible massacre in San Bernardino, California. They're saying it's the worst terrorist attack in America since 9/11, nearly 15 years ago. Yes, there's a lot of darkness, but we're called to have confidence that the light of Christ will overcome that darkness. I don't know whether some of you remember the cartoon character Hagar the Horrible. Is he still appearing in the funny papers? I'm not sure. But I haven't read cartoons for a long time in the newspapers. Remember years ago, Hagar the Horrible, he's this mean Viking, you know. And there was one strip where his wife tells him, "Hagar, you know, it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness." And Hagar thinks about that for a moment. He says, "I'd rather curse the darkness." Well, that's what we shouldn't react. That's not the way to react, huh? It's very tempting to just complain about all the terrible things that are happening around us, especially when there is a lot of evil going on. But let's take heart from the Blessed Mother in this beautiful week that we're beginning now with two of her great feasts coming up. Let's take heart from the call of John the Baptist that every one of us can really prepare the way of the Lord in our own hearts, and also by living in a Christian way, we're preparing eventually for his final coming, for the completion of all things The very reason why God made the universe is to restore it through the birth of his Son and the work of redemption that Jesus brought about to us. It's a historical reality. That's why St. Luke, in the beginning of his gospel here, we heard this morning, there's a whole lot of facts and figures there about the 15th reign of the year, Tiberius and Pontius, and this, he lists all these different rulers who were powerful at that time and exactly what year it was, because Luke, as a real historian, he wants to emphasize that God is not just remote up in heaven. He has come down to become part of our history. And he's with us right now in these dramatic times of our own history. He's calling us to have faith and confidence in his promises. And finally, dear friends in Christ, one way that we can really help to prepare the way for the Lord. Just recently, I was brought in contact with a very valuable apostolate by a young American man who was felt called by God to start an initiative, and it's spreading around the States on the internet, to pray for our Catholic bishops. You know, I think within the church, I can't think of any single intention that is really more important than to pray for our shepherds, the ones who God has placed in different places in charge of the Catholic Church around the world, beginning, of course, with the Bishop of Rome, Pope Francis. And you'll find that on today's bulletin, on the back of that, there's a little paragraph, there's a little ad there about how to participate in this initiative. And there's a website there, the direction is there on the bulletin, prayforbishopsnow.com. And he's asking that we add, say, one decade of the rosary every day for our bishops, that they be strengthened and guided by God in these times of critical importance for the church. So that's one way that we can prepare for the way for the Lord, praying for our leaders in the church, and above all, trusting in the Lord and the intercession of his Blessed Mother, that in spite of that darkness which is so tempting to curse, we can each of us light a beautiful little candle to God in each of our own lives, each in his or her own way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.